I would say one of the things that I've seen in the high school landscape of track and field is the resiliency piece. More students need to be able to be resilient in their approach. There's going to be bumps in the roads. There's going to be roadblocks. There's going to be all kinds of things to derail you from your goals and dreams. Guess what, high school people? It's part of the process. That's what it is. You want greatness, you got to be able to break down the walls, right? You got to be able to jump the walls and go around obstacles. That's part of it. That's the requirement. And if you lack resiliency, how can you get to your goal?
Welcome to the PT Rebels podcast. This is the place to learn how you can become a PT Rebel and take charge of your own health and wellness. We will help you find answers to your questions about pain, injury, and the path towards healing in the most efficient and effective way possible. I'm your host, Dr. Gina Fick.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. This week we have a special guest. His name is Antoine Baker. Antoine is a strength and conditioning coach, educator, and athlete. Antoine is originally from Fresno, California, and spent the second half of his childhood in Los Angeles. He ran track in undergrad and played football in graduate school. And since then, Antoine has played rugby, won USATF Masters Track and Field Championships in sprints, and competed in fitness wars, strongman, and powerlifting meets. As an everyday athlete, Antoine seeks to inspire and motivate others to make fitness part of their lifestyle. Antoine is an athlete ambassador for FIC Physical Therapy and Sports Performance, and it's such a pleasure to have you on the podcast today. Antoine, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Of course. I invited Antoine to speak on the podcast today because I feel like he has a lot of knowledge and wisdom to share with our community, and he's gone through ups and downs, highs and lows as an athlete, and I wanted him to share his story with you, and I think you'll be inspired, and I think you'll gain a lot from the podcast today. So thanks for listening, everyone. Antoine, just give us a background about yourself and tell us a little bit more about you.
Absolutely. Yes, I'm from Fresno, California, early childhood, and then middle school years, high school years, moved to LA and got the rest of my young childhood in LA. The middle of nine kids, five brothers, four sisters. So pretty much smack in the middle. So I played basketball, football, I ran track. Sports have always been used as an outlet for myself, especially growing up in poverty, growing up in the communities that I grew up in. So sports was always a way, a sense of like hope and inspiration and motivation for myself to find a better outlet and better outcomes. And so I always relied heavily on sports. Most of my high school career, pretty much, I was homeless. And so in and out of the shelters, churches, really just trying to find an opportunity, finding a way, and just being able to navigate all of that through high school. And so I think one of the things that I really learned through being homeless and the challenges that really came to me as a young child, as a youth, was really just building that resiliency, right? Control what you can, continuing to work hard, continuing to grind, continuing to see the light, because I was only able to control what I could control. And from that point on, I played three sports, and track is where I was able to kick the door down. Football, a little bit too small. Track coaches and football coaches didn't get along, so it messed up some recruiting. But track is where I got my first opportunity to seek college and kind of start from there.
Wow, thank you for sharing your background, Antoine. I think that you bring a unique perspective that not a lot of people have in terms of your background and how you grew up. So thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
What are some of the lessons that you learned as growing up homeless that helped develop the grit and the determination and the drive that you had moving into high school and college as a collegiate athlete and even now?
One of the things I learned, like I said, was the resiliency piece. I feel like that was so critical, just knowing that I couldn't control my situation, right? I was a high school kid, but one of the things that I could control was my attitude, how I showed up to school, making sure that I was able to make good grades and be in good academic standing, making sure that I had good effort at practice and that I was coachable and doing the small things that I knew that was going to give me an opportunity when the opportunity fit. And so to me, I would say my biggest lesson was the resiliency piece. And then just being resourceful. I didn't have much. A lot of my showers came at the homeless shelters or at the church. I felt like I was always trying to find a way to navigate the system, but also be present for my high school and be available for friends, family, and just things like that. So I just understood that if I can control the things I can control, the rest would work out for itself.
Can you tell us about maybe one or two key mentors that you had in your life that helped guide you and shape you into the young man that you became in college? And were there any people along the way that really inspired you?
Yeah. So one of the names I can say is Mark Lazarus. He was a guy at the rec center. Actually, I remember him to this day. He paid for my Nike indoor nationals meet. Coming from where I was coming from, my parents didn't have the money for us to compete at nationals, Nike nationals. And I felt like whenever he saw an opportunity to sponsor a trip or sponsor an opportunity for me, he was able to do that. And that meant so much to me. And I just remember myself coming from a mom and dad, coming from still a good home, where the expectations was like, hey, you're going to make it through hard work and grit and effort. And with academics, anything is possible. And I think Mark took that, knowing that I was an example of the community of what, no matter your situation, like you're still a good kid. You're just in a situation where you're just going to have to rise above. And Mark took care of me. He would buy lunch for us. If I needed to go to Nike Nationals, he did that. If he needed also playing youth sports, I didn't have to really pay like fees and things like that. Just really just wherever he felt like he can insert himself, that's what he did. And I still remember that like it's yesterday. And I would even say that was part of my willingness to give in what I seen early on. Wow, like people really do help you or want to help you as long as you're showing that you want to help yourself. And that's one of the things I learned really early is controlling the effort that I put in and the work that I put in. And so that's one of the things I really relied on.
That's amazing. I think that's one thing that I think we're all tasked with, in my opinion, as we are gifted more blessings and more in this life that we give back.
Absolutely.
And I know that you do that in a lot of different ways, and not just financially, but just encouraging others. One of the things that I really appreciate about Antoine is when he comes to our active recovery nights, he's always finding a way to encourage our high school athletes, even fellow masters athletes. He's always finding a way to say, you know what? Let's turn this into a positive. How can we look at this in a positive way? I know that your parents must have done a good job and mentors along the way to help you reframe and rethink. Yeah, I may be in a bad situation sometimes, but here's how I can look at this in a positive light. That's one of the things that I really appreciate about Antoine, and I've seen just in action. A lot of people talk sometimes about what they do, but Antoine is someone that I watch and he's really puts it into action. And so I really respect and admire that. That's one of the reasons why I am very grateful and thankful that you are part of our community, Antoine. I want to jump forward a bit. Absolutely. For a second. Tell us what you do now. What does the day-to-day look like for you? What career are you involved with now?
So right now, the day-to-day, I just had a little one not too long ago. So right now, I'm an active stay-at-home dad, but I also run my small business, Baker's Fitness, LLC. So I do small group trainings, one-on-ones throughout the day. So I get up, I take the clients for the day. I make sure I get out and I take Ella to the park, to the library, and just be in that role of being an active father. I love being a stay-at-home dad. I've been in education for the last 11 years. And really, I just use this opportunity to take a step back and say, you know, what I poured into these other students and community, I want to make sure that I do the same for Ella. And so it was only right that I take a step back to be able to do that. And so that's really what my day-to-day looks like. And then also coupled with training, right? I'm making sure that I remain an active athlete. And so whether that's a track day, a gym day, a strength day, recovery day, just making sure I'm engaged and taking care of myself so I can make sure that I can pour into Ella, my family, and then also the community that I stay in. And then whenever I feel like it's time to inspire or motivate people, I make sure that I can be able to pour that out as well.
Antoine, in your career with the strength conditioning training, what is your focus and how do you guide your athletes and the individuals that you work with in terms of their fitness and their overall health and wellness?
Oh, great question. So for me, for their overall health and wellness, I feel like I approach it from what are your goals? What's your standards? What is it that you want to accomplish? And I let them know up front that, hey, training with me, Baker's Fitness, it's a lot of hard work, right? It's a lot of effort. And if you're serious about your goals, if you're serious about what you want to do, let's do it. And so it's all tailored to where they see fit. especially the general population. A lot of people just want to be able to be strong again, walk better, jog, run. So whatever the case may be, we just want to make sure that we're tailoring the workout or the strength sessions to their need. So for me, I feel like a lot of my clients do a lot of, especially the general population, we do a lot of compound lifts. We work more than one muscle group. We really try to attack a well-rounded strength base for people that are in the general population. Now, if you're an athlete, I would probably say compound lifts, but also speed and agility, where we get a chance to really do that too as well. So it really just depends on if it's a general fitness person or if it's a young high school athlete, college athlete, or even pro athlete as well.
Can you talk a moment about the value of trust and communication and buy-in and how you see that benefiting your clients?
Oh, the trust and buy-in is huge. If they don't trust me, they're not going to allow me to really train them. If there's no open line of communication, it's so hard to move forward. And I think that's why we do pre-evaluations. That's why we have conversations. What are the goals? What is it that you're looking to do? Are you scared of hard work? Are you going to show up? Are you somebody that's consistent in your approach of what you're looking for? And so I think you got to have open lines of communication. The trust got to be there because you're not going to be able to push your client in the ways that they're really looking to be pushed. Not everybody wants to be pushed. Some people just want to coach and want to be told what to do. I'm going to try to reach next level. I'm going to try to reach you and tailor your goals and the things that we've talked about. I'm going to try to really get the best out of you in that approach.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's fantastic. What are some of the roadblocks that you see that people face when you're training them? What are some of their fears, hesitancies, or things that could potentially be roadblocks in their training?
Yeah, I think roadblocks, as far as when it comes to training for my clients, at least, I think consistency, right? I think a lot of people are dealing with life challenges and they don't normally give themselves the grace to be able to do the work. You don't necessarily have to work out for an hour. It can be 30 minutes, it could be 20 minutes. But I think the most important part is it consistent. And I feel like they're grappling with that. And so I think to me, the biggest roadblocks is really the challenge of being consistent, not necessarily being scared of the work, but I think life is just happening to a lot of people and you forget to take care of yourself. This is something that you have to make a lifestyle. This is something that you have to make a commitment to. And if you don't do that, I feel like you're going to fall short every time. And I think that's really where the challenge is. It's the consistent part. I get clients that show up once a week, but there's plenty of clients that want twice a week, and that kind of leaves the second day. So I'm always trying to encourage, hey, you said you want twice a week. Right now we're at one. How do you want to move forward? How do you want to go forward? And so I'm always trying to encourage for them to reach their goals as far as their approach to consistency.
So we see a lot in our practice clients who aren't really sure where to start. Mm-hmm. So they just don't do anything. So then time goes on and they don't get any stronger. They get more out of shape. They get more frustrated. If someone's in that position, what advice do you have?
I would say continue to give yourself grace. If you haven't been doing this, I would say it is a new start. It is going to take a leap of faith for you to do that. But like, I think one of the things you can rely on is, once again, it doesn't have to be an hour. It doesn't have to be 30 minutes. You can literally start with 10 pushups and a walk every day. You're just trying to find the wins and the little things, being very consistent in the little things. It doesn't have to be Instagram worthy. It doesn't have to be a world record. It just needs to be right for you. And if that's walking, if that's jogging, that's the elliptical, the treadmill, the Stairmaster, it is what it is. But we're trying to build consistent habits of that. I do think you have to give yourself grace in that approach if this is something that you haven't done on a daily basis. You can't get it all back in one day. And so you need a balanced approach to whatever goals you have set for yourself in a better, healthy lifestyle.
I like that. So it sounds like you're able just to meet your clients where they are.
Pretty much.
And it involves listening and really just gaining that trust and meeting them where they're at. And then you can progress them from there. Would you say that's
100%, 100%. And I think, Gina, you do a good job of meeting your clients where they are, right? When you hear about their injuries and the things that happen, hey, what can I do for you? What do I need to do for you? Like, how can we meet in the middle so we can make sure that you get the best service possible, right? That's one of the things that I realized about you early on. I'm like, wow, you have this mindset to be able to help everyone and in a way that's individualized and personalized. And I think that's another reason why Fig PT is a great place to be, especially getting physical therapy.
Oh, thank you. That's one of our goals, is to really make this an experience that's tailored to the individual and give them time and give them a place that they can feel safe and trust and know that we have their best interests in mind. I'd like to learn a little bit more about you as a master's athlete at this point. I've been admiring just your commitment to the process, your commitment to training, staying healthy, your recovery process. I want to learn about that. First of all, can you just tell us your experience in track and field and what that looks like in high school and college and now as a master's track and field athlete?
Yes. So high school, I was a 400 specialist, ran the 400, did the 200. Coach said I wasn't fast enough for the 100. Absolutely, I wanted to do the 100, but he's, nah, we can get more points with you in the 400. And so be it. I was coachable. I did the 400, made it to state my senior year, ran 48 my junior year. I feel like I was pretty solid throughout my high school career of running track. Moved on to college, JUCO first year, ran 48.5, did some things really well, and then moved on to Southern Oregon University, small town, Ashland, Oregon, NAIA school, where I got a chance to run the 100 and 200 of the year, 2009, became an All-American in 100 meters. Moved on after that, grad school, football, Portland State, graduated in 2012, rounded college career, I would say. And then moving forward, I wasn't ready to let go of being an athlete. I was ready to remain at and just everything that I built over a course of high school to college after. And so I kept the training regimen going. I still loved track. I still love lifting weights. I still moving like a well-rounded athlete. And I got on the master circuit, took home a couple 200 meter titles. But overall, I think the trick with masters is really just taking care of your body. If you're really strength training, if you're really taking care of your body, and a lot of us are in our day-to-days as we kind of compete being master athletes. So I think half the battle is, are you strength training? Are you taking care of your body? Is your nutrition at a good place? And then I think the rest take care of itself. This is not college anymore where you probably are on the track 5 days a week. So how do you balance that with your lifting, your eating, your sleeping and stuff like that? So you need this well-rounded approach being a master's athlete if you want to compete, especially at the highest level of masters. And I feel like I've been able to do that because I really didn't let go of the work ethic from college. So it's something that I continued in.
We're surrounded by a really cool community of master track and field athletes. In our practice, we have several athlete masters that are really successful master track and field athletes. Tuan, if you feel a twinge or something going on, you're not sure how to handle it, what's your approach? Do you reach out to other professionals for help? What does that look like for you if you feel like you may have an injury coming on?
Yeah, so I think as a master athlete, you definitely want to listen to your body. I cannot say that enough. Listen to your body, because if you believe that it's a foot, it's a knee, it's a hamstring, that's probably what it is. And so you have to scale back. And what I mean by that is you don't necessarily have to take off. What does scaling back look like? If you're supposed to be on the track, maybe that's a pool day. Maybe that's a bike day. So it doesn't always have to be on the track. But I think the valuable tool here is really listening to your body. And then if you have that support group, probably having conversations amongst your support group, your track club, and then take it from there. A lot of times I feel like masters athletes feel like they're missing something. And because they feel like they're missing something, they're going to continue to push through the injury because you're scared to maybe miss that practice or to miss that time, or there's a certain time that you're chasing, or there's a certain goal that you're after. And because of that, you're willing to almost risk it all. But listening to your body will always pay dividends in a major way.
I agree. And I think the masters athletes that we work with are really in tune with their bodies. They've been athletes for a long time. And like you said, seek help when they need to. I think some still struggle with maybe deloading or taking a day off.
Absolutely.
That's still very hard, even as a master's athlete. And so I've heard you advise other master's athletes in here. Can you speak to that a little bit about just overall meet schedule when you're chasing that time or that goal? Is it okay to take a day off? Or is it okay to deload a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. You could definitely deload. You could definitely reset. But oftentimes I feel like athletes feel like they're missing out on something, right? You have goals set. You want to secure national titles. You want to make world teams. And you feel like whenever you have those bumps in the roads with the injury, because there's so much at stake for you and your goals, you feel like you have to push through. But pushing through actually just makes the injury worse, or it makes the progression to your goals a lot slower because the injuries you're probably going to have coming on or the things that you're going to face later down the road because you decided to push through. But a reset, a restart, and really scaling back your workout and deloading will always benefit you. It will always benefit you. There's so much upside in it. And at the end of the day, the name of the game is being healthy for the entire season so you can be able to perform and reach your goals.
Exactly. So tell us about some of your goals. What do you want to do in the next year, Antoine?
Ooh, goals. What do I want to do in the next year? I definitely want to compete outdoors. I didn't do the indoor nationals this year, but I definitely want to compete outdoor nationals for Masters. Another one of my goals is I'll probably hop in a CrossFit competition this year. I'll probably hop in a powerlifting meet this year. Just a few different things to keep me athletic and challenged when it comes to working out. I feel like those are great ways to attack training. A lot of people always ask, what are you training for? Is there a specific thing that you're training for? And I always say, no, not really. But I like to live in the middle, knowing that I'm strong enough to do powerlifting, but also strong enough to run on a track or hop in a CrossFit competition or a fitness competition. So I really live in this middle area of my fitness and my athleticism. So I'm not leaning on one side or the other or so.
Would you say that's a key to longevity? Setting those goals in terms of maybe a competition here or there and also staying in the middle and not just doing one thing?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it keeps you well-versed, right? It keeps you well-rounded. And I think my training approach is to be well-versed and be ready for anything and everything. And I do love the fact that I'm not just training for powerlifting or for a strongman competition or just track. Right now, the focus is track, but you better believe I'm ready in everything in all categories because that's how I approach it.
That's amazing. I'd like to take a step back in time. So sitting where you're sitting now, what would you tell your younger self as an athlete? Let's go back to, let's say, high school. What would you tell your younger self now?
Wow. Keep working hard, because I think one of the things that I benefited from was not letting my environment and my circumstances like really define me. And so one of the things I really pride myself on is hard work and being committed to the process. And a lot of people always ask, what's your approach? What's your why? And that's some of my why. That's a lot of my why too, right? I didn't have anything to stand on besides the work ethic that I gave in high school, because that was my reality. And so I think taking that with me to college, grad school, my education career, and even now training, I've always had that approach. I'm not scared to work hard. And I think hard work is really what did it for me.
I think that we all have pivotal moments in our life, right? We all have things that shape us, that guide us. And it sounds like you've had some pretty key pivotal moments. You've been able to take those experiences and really let those drive you into the person that you are today, also motivate others. If you were to talk to high school athletes, what would you tell the high school athletes in terms of their future goals? What should the focus be? What should they be really aiming towards?
Yeah, I think for me, it would be stay consistent in your craft. Show up for you, right? Just like with anything else in life, you get out what you put in. You get out what you put in. I can't say that enough. You're only getting the results you work for, right? We all have hopes and dreams and wishes, but if you're not putting in work, how can that come to life, right? How can those PRs come to life if you're not willing to put in the work? And then I think another thing too, I think we live in a social media driven world for young people. And so everything is literally a competition on social media. Run your own race, carve out your own path, make your own mistakes. I think a lot of times we're caught up in the social media realm of what greatness looks like or what PRs look like or what the expectation is. Create your own expectations, create your own lane, create your own work, create your own habits. You don't have to get everything from social media, right? And so I think that's the mindset or the frame that we're in now. And those that keep their head down, on their coachable, they show up, they work, those are the ones that's going to go far. Being coachable is huge, because college, high school, pro, wherever you go, if you're not coachable, it's going to be so hard to get you to your goals of where you see yourself going or where you want to go. Yeah, I would say that. And then I had another one, the mindset, right? I think mindset is important. We all have these goals, but if your mindset is not there with you, how can you achieve these goals? So taking your mindset, being in a good mental space, mental health, mental wellness, making sure you have clarity, making sure that you're focused. And then I would say one of the things that I've seen in the high school landscape of track and field is the resiliency piece. more students need to be able to be resilient in their approach. There's going to be bumps in the roads. There's going to be roadblocks. There's going to be all kinds of things to derail you from your goals and dreams. Guess what, high school people? It's part of the process. That's what it is. You want greatness, you got to be able to break down the walls, right? You got to be able to jump the walls and go around obstacles. That's part of it. That's the requirement. And if you lack resiliency, how can you get to your goal? I'm seeing like way too many high school athletes shut down after a bad race or after a bad rep, head down, energy flow, not realizing you still have a 200 or a 400 to run, right? There's still so much upside in what you can deliver. And this is what carves out greatness. How do you respond? Can you respond? Can you block out the noise? That's part of it. That's part of it. We look at Patrick Mahomes. We look at all these other great athletes. Part of their greatness is responding. How do you respond? People that counted you out, they doubted you. The road's been tough. It's been hard. Now, how do you respond? And so I would like to see more high school kids build that resiliency piece when competing and just having the mindset to reach their goals and where they're going.
I would agree that the number one thing that I've seen in greatness that the athletes that I've worked with is they have the ability to stay focused and stay consistent and be resilient no matter what, no matter who's coaching them, no matter what's going on in their personal lives, no matter what, they've made a commitment that no matter what happens, they're going to chase this goal and stay true to their goal and stay true to the process.
I agree.
I've seen that focus and clarity, and things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. Things are going to go wrong. They always go. And that's life.
Yep.
And that's life. Tell me about some challenges that you faced maybe in the last 5-10 years that you've been able to turn into positives and really help drive you into the trajectory and path that you're on now.
Probably a couple of challenges for me. I'll just start off with my career, my educational career, right? I was a Black man, graduated Portland State. My master's was educational leadership and policy, with emphasis in student services. And I figured that there was going to be some challenges of me securing the job and the salary that I actually want. And so you have this thing of paying your dues and things like that. And I felt like I've always done my part in a way where I've showed up for my students, showed up for my community, and my resume always spoke for itself. But after I've paid my dues and put in the work, I was still waiting to be compensated. And it took a while to finally get the rightful compensation that I deserved. I had to work through that. And it was something that didn't sit well with me for a long time because I felt like it was something that was systematic. And I wasn't going against the grain, wanting something that I felt like I rightfully earned and deserved. And I finally got to a place where I felt valued. I got noticed more. They realize, wow, this guy is really good at building relationships with kids and community, and we got to take care of this guy. Eventually, there was a pivot where we turned the corner and I was able to start to feel better about compensation and what they were able to pay me salary. But I think that's been one of the biggest challenges of my career so far, on or off the track in a professional sense. And even the kids that I work with in the community that look like me, I used to tell them all the time, go to school. Get your education, because even when you look like me, the challenges are there, the barriers, the roadblocks. And they would be like, coach, still, even you, even with all that you accomplished? Yeah, it's real. And so you have to prepare yourself. And so my approach to prepping my students was in preparation of reality. How do I get them to survive? And that's been the biggest challenge since I've been out of school.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. And in education, I can relate to that in a certain way, just because as a female in sports medicine and sports physical therapy, it's very much a challenge, especially 25 years ago when I first started. There weren't a lot of females and really good females working in professional sports or working with a lot of athletes in sports medicine and sports physical therapy. And so I always felt like I had to do way more and try to prove myself more. And it got to be frustrating when people who were in less lower positions than I was getting paid more and getting more respect. And so I understand that from a different perspective and just how frustrating that can be. But I use those to try to encourage other people in my life and as a mentor for other female physical therapists to just do your best to try to be better than everyone else and focus on your skills and to raise yourself to a higher level.
Absolutely. And it's exactly what we talked about. Like, part of that process is how do you rise?
Yeah.
How do you grow from, like, do you shut down? Do you rise to the challenge? Do you get better? Do you continue to grow? There's still a ton of upside in all of that, right? There's value in lessons. You just got to be willing to take it. It's always keeping that that mind open to learn and to grow so you can be better.
Absolutely. So when we face challenges, we can go a couple of different paths. We can choose to let those bring us down. We can choose to be resentful. We can choose to be hurt by those for a long time. I think trait of a true champion is finding the ability to rise above this. No matter what you face, no matter what, you just keep moving forward. And the hard days, you just keep moving forward. The good days, you count those as blessings. You learn from them. I think that's one thing in our business that we try to do is give back to our clients. And I know for a fact, because I have clients that have worked with you, that's what you do for them as well. Tell us more about your training business. I want to learn more about types of athletes that you train, what your experiences are with those type athletes and what sports, and what does that look like, and how have you been able to help them?
Yeah, I think it was during the pandemic, I actually had a warehouse and it was month to month and it was a challenge just like it was for everybody. And I think at some point they closed down gyms or said, hey, you got to make a decision because we can't have you guys work out in groups. And so since then, it shifted my perspective of the business and the growth of it. And don't forget, I started my business in the park. I would come Saturdays and Sundays, I would do group fitness classes. And I would tell those people in my classes, my clients, one day, this is all going to be better. But just stick with me, though. Stick with me, because the vision's there. The vision's there. And I would just wake up Saturdays and Sundays, load my truck up, put the equipment in, and we go out there. I set it up early, and the grass is wet and dewy. But that's what makes you. That's the things that make the story. And some of their shoes and socks will be wet. And I'm looking at the future. There's better days to come. Just be happy. We're moving our body. The classes is cheap, by the way, at this time, because I'm building my business still. I'm like, it's $5. Yeah, come on. As we stay on the process, and I just continue to build through the pandemic, and I just kept building. I kept putting money away, and I was an educator, and I kept putting half of my paychecks or 30% of my paychecks away, buying fitness equipment, knowing that at some point I would like to launch this thing bigger so I can take a step back and really focus on fitness and training and things like that. And I think after maybe right after the pandemic, that's when I knew that people were going to need a place to train. They were going to need personal trainers. This was going to be of value to a lot of people that's been trapped and stuck in their homes and their lifestyles changed. And I knew I was going to have a place in this. And Baker's Fitness was being built at the time during all of that. And I had clients that stuck with me. They're out there in the grass and Saturdays and Sunday mornings. And now I'm in a place where my business is in my home now. And my clients are very comfortable with it and how to really build pretty much a facility on my property. And all those clients that trained early with me, I still have those clients. I have new clients. So it's just this beautiful holistic approach of like just being patient, staying committed, staying in the process. And I would also even tell like high school kids I was working with at the time, just watch out for Baker's Fitness. It's coming. And it was this special approach because they got to see somebody that was passionate about what they do, build their own. And those kids were so happy for me because they know the time and effort that I put in with them and to finally have my own, my voice, my thing. It was just a beautiful, surreal feeling. And I felt really good. And that's where I'm at now with all of it.
Our stories are really similar, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It started in 2017. I was burnt out in the traditional physical therapy model. I decided to start a mobile practice. So I went all over the Denver metro area, put a table in the back of my car, some weights, some bands, and I just hit the road.
Got to get it done.
Yeah. And I can tell you, I do miss those days sometimes because that was a special time and that things were simple. And I love meeting people. I love giving back. At the time, I was at Denver East High School, probably 3 or 4 days a week, making $0. But I felt so fulfilled because I was giving back. I was in the hallways of East High School, along the paths outside the high school, stretching kids, teaching kids. They didn't have any money to pay me, but it was so fun for me because it was just purely doing what I love with no compensation. And I just truly wanted to help and give back. And I wasn't even looking for any money at that time. And then those opportunities and those relationships, they pay off. It was really fulfilling for me more than the monetary. It was costing me money. It was driving from Castle Rock to Denver.
Yeah, you don't look at the money.
But I was able to pour into people's lives, not only athletes, but coaches and parents, and be in situations that I feel like I was really able to help others and get a unique perspective on other people's lives, that the challenges and struggles that they faced. that maybe I hadn't even seen before. And so for me to be able to give back and take kids out for dinner that maybe they didn't have a dinner waiting for them at home or didn't have money to buy dinner, to give them a ride when they were going to ride the bus, to pay for a trip to New York when they couldn't pay for it, that was a gift that I could give them. And I don't talk about that a lot, but it was stuff that I was very happy and still am happy to do for those types of athletes who really need help, because I feel like when much is given, much is expected. And I feel like you and I both have that philosophy to really give back in every way possible that we can. So we try to really encourage that. So I'm sure that you do the same thing in your training. Tell us what that looks like when you're training. How do you motivate and encourage them?
Oh, so just a quick story real quick. When I was early on and I was starting, when we were doing classes, fitness classes, my group classes, Saturdays and Sundays, I had one lady, and I'm like a Rob, but not like a football Rob guy. I'm more of like inspirational. I'm going to drive you home. Like, I'm going to get you there. I know it's hard. I see you struggling, but I'm going to build you up because I know you're capable. More of that kind of is. I felt the lady came to one of my classes and she's, wow, like, since I've came to this class, this guy is always like on 100. Is he always like this? And, you know, the class was like, no, we need him to be like this because what we're doing and how we're doing it. And like, it may not be a good fit for you, but we want Coach Baker to raise the roof and have the energy and bring it. And it just wasn't a good fit. She didn't come back after that day, but that's the energy that I provide. And I set my stations up and I'm just really engaging throughout the entire session. There's some highs and then there's some lows because some of those lows is really working through that. And so I call my place the grindhouse. That's the name of it. And because you come in with this mentality and this mindset to grind, you're going to work for the goals. You're going to work for the things that you asked for, the things that you wrote when you saw me and you said, hey, coach, I want to do this. Here's my goals. I'm going to hold you accountable. And I hold you accountable in a way that's going to lift you, that's going to push you. And so you learn a lot about yourself, grindhouse. You really do. PRs, lifts, weights, things that my clients are able to do that they had no idea that they can do because not only being consistent and showing up, but because I'm able to speak in existence of what I know that you're capable of doing. And so I feel like that's my approach. And then just examples of one of the things that I always say when they're struggling in the grindhouse or when it gets tough, it's like they're swimming in the deep end. You're in the deep end. How are you going to pull yourself out? Nobody can save you but you. Nobody's coming. I can't do it for you, but you can do it for you. You're just going to have to block out the noise and focus on the task at hand and get what you want out of it because you can do it. You can do it. Now, obviously, in a safe way, but a lot of them are pushed and they are challenged. And it's tough. It's gritty. It's gritty. And a lot of my clients learn a lot about themselves. And that's why it's really individualized and it's really certain people that can do it. I understand Baker's Fitness is not for everybody. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because the clients that I do get, I know that they're committed to the process. I know they're not scared of hard work. I know they can be coached and I know they want to get better. Now, are there days that they're going to struggle or are they going to be swimming in the deep end? Absolutely. But that's how we grow. That's how we get better. And they know that. And I'm excited because they're wanting that push and they're wanting that change. So that's what it is in the grindhouse.
Love it. I absolutely love it. And I think that's what a lot of people are looking for. So if someone is looking to find out more about Baker's Fitness, how can they contact you? How can they reach you?
They can have Baker's Fitness _ Baker's Fitness on my Instagram. You can send me a DM. I also have my bakersfitness.com website, so they can also reach out to me through my email there. But I'm really easy to get a hold of. I'm not a person that's hiding. And so if you want to have a conversation and you want to talk about your goals and your fitness, I'm happy to do that.
Thank you. I think that you're a very strong partner of FIC Physical Therapy and Sports Performance, and you will be for a long time. We trust you to take care of our clients, and we really respect the person that you are. And I'm just very honored and thankful that you were on the podcast today. Thank you for all the insight and wisdom and encouragement that I know you've given our listeners. Is there anything you want to wrap up with today and close us with?
No, thank you for having me. I've been grateful to meet you. I know Nick, Roman, Christina. They've always talked about FIC PT and it being a special place and how amazing you were and the staff was. And I was, can I eventually get down there? And I'm somebody that takes pride in like taking care of my body, but we do have injuries that happen. We do take steps back sometimes. We have missteps and mishaps or whatever you want to call it. Gina, you've been nothing but great. I feel like you've really done a good job of like really just understanding all my concerns and just my worries and things about my body. I've met a lot of PTs over time, but the fact that your engagement level is so high and your IQ with people is so high to figure out a solution of what's the problem. And I'm grateful for that. And obviously the tools and the resources and your story, since meeting you, I've been rooting for you since I've met you. And I think what it's like to put in the hard work. I know you've been pushing the hours and pushing the days. At the end of the day, you do have your business and feel like you are where you are. And I think that's something to be excited about. And like you said, sharing a little bit of your story, I think you're able to reap all the benefits of that. It's as true as authentic, and you're here. And I think you're going to continue to inspire more people and help more people. And so I'm excited to be here and I'm excited to be a part of it.
Absolutely. That's the goal. Help more people, and hard work pays off. And I think those are some of the lessons that we can really take from today. Thank you, Anton, for being on the podcast. I hope that we can do this again. It's just been a pleasure, and we look forward to seeing how you achieve your goals in this next year and supporting you in that. Many blessings to you as we move forward.